Okay, let's begin. Today I want to discuss with you a very interesting topic, Parashas Pinchas. Pinchas ben Eloz ben Aaron HaKoyin. Targum Minus ben Uzil, I don't have it in front of me. Who is Pinchas? Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu. Pinchas became Eliyahu HaNavi. So I'd like to discuss today a couple of inyanim relating to Eliyahu HaNavi, his impact on Halacha and Agada. So let's first begin with something very simple. We are familiar in the Gemara. The Gemara area has a question, a difficult issue, and the Gemara concludes, Teiku. The Gemara, there's a debate among the Amoraim, and at the end, it's unresolved. Teiku. What does Teiku, what does the word Teiku mean? So I think we're all brainwashed in believing Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiyos V'Abayos. Tishbi refers to Eliyahu, because Eliyahu had Tishbi. Eliyahu came from the city Tishbi. Eliyahu had Tishbi Yitaretz, in the future tense. He will one day answer Kushiyos V'Abayos, difficulties, two different expressions of difficulties. Now, what's difficult with this interpretation is Eliyahu, if Eliyahu is a malach, Torah lav b'shamayim hi. Torah has to be decided by human beings, by Talmidei Chachamim, who are human beings, not by angels. We have that very, very important principle. So how in the world can Tishbi, Eliyahu HaNavi, Yitaretz Kushiyos V'Abayos? So the commentators answer, many different commentators say the same thing, it does not mean Eliyahu HaNavi is going to actually give it a svara. Something that's logical depends upon human beings. There'll be a Bezdin. The Bezdin will, the members of the Sanhedrin will voice their opinions, and the majority opinion will prevail. Achrei Ram L'Hadas. What all it means is that in many of these issues, you have to study each teiku. I'm sure there's Svarim that go through every single teiku and elaborate, but this approach tells us there are certain types of questions that the Gemara has that are based upon mitzius, the world of reality, science. And Chazal, according to this approach, not every situation were they privy to the details of how what the science, to the mitzius, the reality, the world of reality. And if you don't know the science, you can't make a halachic decision. So Tishbi, Yitaretz, Kush, Shabbat, all it means is Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he'll be a science teacher. He will reveal to us the Mitzias. The Mitzias, and once the Chacham will have at their fingertips the Mitzias of what the essence of the issue is, then the Chacham, who are not Malachim, who are human beings, will be able to render a halachic decision which depends upon human beings, because Torah Lav HaShemayim. However, you should be aware that now the truth is this it seems comes from the Rambam. It says here that it's quoted, and a lot of what I'm telling you is quoted, by the way, in a sefer called Devir Kodesho on Chumash Bamidbar. Devir Kodesho was authored by Rav Yaakov Goldberg. Rav Yaakov Goldberg is currently the Rosh HaYeshiva of Telzi Yeshiva in Cleveland. The famous Telzi Yeshiva, he's the Rosh Yeshiva at this moment, Rav Yaakov Goldberg, and it's quite an impressive sefer. You see why he's the Rosh Yeshiva.
Do you know how many Bar Brahma in the basement of Shintel's now?
I hear not that many.
Okay.
That's why I said he's currently the Rosh Yeshiva. I was hinting. I was hinting that Telz had a long history. And nothing is. And right now, what? No, I've seen recently a video. They had a promotional video for the yeshiva, and it looked pretty good.
Wow.
It looked pretty good. You can't bring it to Cleveland. You just can't, you know, in Flatbush you can just go onto the street and grab bodies and put them in the base medrash.
They brought it from the day school.
From the day school? Yeah, you saw the video?
No.
You saw this? It looked pretty good. It looked like their work. I don't know anything about Tulsa. I have no connection. I have no negias. I have no relatives, no parnasa. They produced previously some very great people. From very great. Okay. But this is. Okay, so let's continue. We have here this idea of Tishbi Yitaretz Kushus V'Abayas. Similarly, I didn't look it up. The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis says such a thing. That Tishbi stands for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushus V'Abayas. The Yavetz, who wasn't that long ago, Rav Yaakov Emdin, seems not to have been aware of this Rambam Perush HaMishnayos, and he said that this thing, Tishbi Yitaritz Kushi Abayis, is Hevel. It's Hevel. Here's just an expression. He says, exactly, that there's no such thing. Omnam Hayayveit Specifer Lechem Shemayim Kosav De Hevel Hu Dover Zeh. And one of the reasons why he says Hevel is because in his Gerson, in many Gemaros, Teku does not have a Yud. Teku has a, there's no Yud. Okay, we read it with a chiruk as if there's a yud, but there is no actual yud. So there's no actual yud. How can you say tishmi yitaris? How can you add a word that doesn't exist? Now, literally, what does it mean teku? What's the, if you go take out a jastro and you look up the exact translation of teku, means let the matter stand. We have a question, and the question is not ever a resolution. Let the question stand, which itself is a very interesting idea, which has a connotation that not every dilemma has an answer. Hashem created a very complicated world, and there are some things in this world that it's meant to be that there is no answer. Okay, why do we live? We live in a world where everything has to be a solution to every problem. Tishbi Yitaritz Kushvias, Tishbi Mashiach, he'll come, he'll give the answer. Who says maybe Tishbi will arrive and he won't give an answer? And the question will remain. There are certain things in Halacha that are meant, according to this approach, are meant not to be answered. There are two sides, there are two different ways of looking at something. For some people this is an approach, and some people this approach. We have to realize not everyone thinks like us. Everyone is different. People have their, every person is wired differently. Every person has a different netiya to do. Some people like to do these things, some people don't. Some people like certain types of food, other people don't like types of food. Some people like certain colors, some don't. Everyone is different. What?
These aren't matters of personal.
Well, to a certain degree it is. When you have a dilemma, you have a difficult situation, and there are two ways of looking at something, there is not necessarily one solution. Teku, let the matter stand. No, who says it means until? Who says until? Why do you have to say until, yeah?
I'm suggesting that in the era of Moshiach, maybe the rules change. So, I don't know.
Does it stay unresolved until they come?
Well, we're brainwashed to believe this. We're brainwashed. We learn in yeshiva as children. Take, oh, we have a very difficult question. What's the answer? Who's wrong? Someone has to be right. So now, so when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he'll tell us who's right. That creeps into our blood from childhood.
But many times will say, my hilchasa.
Right. What's the halacha? And the Gemara says, teku, my hilchasa. And the Gemara says, teku.
It goes the other way too. We pass it. I'm a Shmuel Amma so-and-so, Rabba, so-and-so.
You have to look at every individual Gemara. So then the Gemara does. Then the Gemara is not saying teku. Sometimes the Gemara comes to a conclusion.
So the Gemara is looking for. They don't have enough to sway.
Okay, you have to look at each Gemara.
Need a conclusion halacha.
Every Gemara has to be studied individually. But there are Gemaras that the Gemara doesn't paskin at all. The Gemara is my hilchasa. The Gemara doesn't have a Rav and Shmuel coming to paskin halacha. The Gemara is my hilchasa. The Gemara says teku. Let the matter stand. We are brainwashed. There can only be one solution, right? That's not. I mean, that's how we were brought up as children. There's a fight. But when you become an adult and you become develop some maturity, you realize that this doesn't have to be one answer. Let the question stand. That's part of the beauty of the question. What?
So the anagrams teku is like a wrong thing you should say. Any day or something we don't know. We don't know which one.
Teku stand. Talkum stand.
What?
Talkum.
Let go. Talkum. Is that what it's?
Yeah, that's Aramaic for talkum. It's exactly what it means.
Stand is what?
What? As a question. The Gemara presents two sides. There are two sides to look at an issue. You can look at it like this, and then the result will be this. If you look at it from this angle, the result is the opposite. Do you owe me money? Do I owe you money? We have a dispute. We have a monetary dispute. I'm claiming there's $100 that's in the middle on the table. Who does the money belong to? Does it belong to me? Does it belong to you? And we have argument. And the Gemara says, "Teku, let the matter stand." So what does that mean?
What do you do with the money?
What do you do with the money? So these situations, shuda the diner. There's something called shuda diner. In these situations, the judge are given authority to decide to make an ad hoc, one-time decision who should get the money in this particular situation. That's not relevant for any other situations.
Right.
Okay, that's it. But this idea teku that we are brainwashed as children to mean that the Mashiach will give us one answer is not necessarily the only meaning of teku. Tishbi Yitaritz Kushis V'Abayis. Rav Yaakov Emin says this concept that Mashiach will answer is Hevel. That's not what it means. Teku, we have to know, but I'll tell you what he says in a moment, but Teku literally means the matter will stand. And that itself should be satisfactory for us to appreciate that in this world, there's another side to every issue. And don't think you have to force your understanding upon everyone else. They have to have some respect. You have to work out. You have to work out a solution. You have to work out things that will be satisfactory for everyone. But don't live in a world where it's my way or the highway. That's not correct. Yeah.
I think we're living in a society where you ask someone a question, honestly say to you, "I don't know." People don't want to accept "I don't know" as an answer.
It's not necessarily true. I don't.
I have that experience where you tell people, "I don't know." I don't know.
I think we're finding more and more people are saying that they don't know. I think more and more, I find people, I recently had a discussion with someone talking about my mother. So this person always used to, very opinionated. Very opinionated, the whole life. I know for so many years. And I was shocked. She starts talking, says to me, yeah. And she says to me, she basically confessed to me, "I'm always very opinionated. I always so certain. But now I'm getting older and I realize that..."
She's mellowing.
"I really don't know. Maybe I'm wrong." She said to me.
Yeah.
She said to me, like, I'm in shock. She always was tough. This way, this is right, that's right, this one's wrong. And she sees that all of her plans in life didn't work out the way she liked. And she says, "I thought I was smart." That's what she said. "I thought I was smart, but now I see I really don't know." She didn't say I was wrong. That far, she wasn't willing to go. She was willing to say, "I really don't know. I'm not sure of myself anymore." And I see that a lot. I see that in the news, in the media. You see that in the news also. People are coming to a realization. The world is so complex. We don't think we realize how complex the world was until recent times. Technology and how everyone is so caught up in everything. There is no solution to many problems. Okay, let's go further. Now, there's another translation of the word teiko that means tick. This is what Rav Yaakov Emden says. Tick means a case, a tick. A tick, you don't know what's inside, unless you go through a scanner, you go through an airport and they have a scanner, but you have a tick, whatever is, it's concealed, it's hidden. When the Gemara says teiko, it means the matter in the meantime is concealed. It's hidden, we don't know how to resolve the issue, we need someone great to come along and open up the tick, open up the case and reveal the depth of the matter to resolve the situation. Okay, this is, okay, that's what it's, now we have another interesting issue he points out, is sometimes the Gemara says, Tishbi Yitaretz Kushis V'Abayis, and sometimes the Gemara says, Yehem Munach At Shayavo Eliyahu. Now Eliyahu is Tishbi, and you have to study each Gemara individually. Let's say you have a situation where you have a question of money. There's a question, who does the money belong to? Does it belong to me? Does it belong to you? And the Gemara concludes, "No, Yehem Munach At Shayavo Eliyahu." Instead of the Gemara saying Tishbi, saying Teku, it says Yehem Munach. Why, if we assume that Tishbi does stand for Teku, stands for Tishbi Yitaretz, why sometimes does the Gemara say Tishbi, Teku, which refers to Tishbi, and sometimes we call Eliyahu by his name, Yemunach at Sheyavo Eliyahu? So he presents here an answer. He goes there, Rabbi Goldberg has a nice chapter on this idea. He discussed this at length, that Eliyahu Hanavi has two dimensions. There's the guf of Eliyahu and there's the neshama of Eliyahu. The time will come, in the time of Mashiach, when Eliyahu will come back to his body. will come back, and his neshama, we have emunah that he will be put into a human body. And then there is Eliyahu who comes to every bris. How does Eliyahu come to every bris? And this is a bris in America. How is Eliyahu in Eretz Yisrael on the same day and the same time? How does Eliyahu come to a bris on Shabbos? He can't travel on Shabbos. He's now going to go past the Tchum. How does Eliyahu go to a bris in a cemetery? In a makom where there's a mace? Eliyahu is not allowed to be metame. What?
How does he drink the wine? Well,
say tonight. How does he drink everyone? Shikr. I used to have a very fast seder. We would say we want to get a Leo when he's not yet drunk. He'll come to us first. You want to get him when he is clear.
He doesn't
wear hands of chandelier. Why not? Why doesn't he come to have chandeliers? His head. How does Eliyahu travel in all of these locations? So the answer is there are two different forms of Eliyahu. There's Eliyahu in the guf and Eliyahu in the neshama. In the neshama, he's not bound by any physical limitation. Eliyahu can be in a million places a million times. He can travel on Shabbos. He can go to a place of tumah. Because Eliyahu, when we refer to Eliyahu with the term Eliyahu, he's a malach. And that's the Targum Yonasim in the Zilm Nesit Parashat. Pinchas is Eliyahu. Eliyahu, there, Targum spells that he's a malach. When we refer to Eliyahu with the term Tishbi, it means in the guf, in the flesh and blood. It means at the time when Eliyahu will come, Tchias HaMesim, Eliyahu's neshama, the Malach Eliyahu, will come back into his original guf, he'll be a human being. So that it really... What? So
when the Gemara keeps giving all these maisa like a Tanis, Eliyahu came to visit this Tana, came to visit this Amar. Which one came? The Ruach, so there's, or the guf?
It's not clear. You have to study each Gemara individually, and to make matters even more complex, he presents here a very popular opinion at the end of this chapter that every time the Gemara refers to Eliyahu coming, it does not mean Eliyahu Hanavi. There was an Amoira in the time of Amoira by the name of Eliyahu, who was a very popular person, a very big Talmud Chacham, and that is every time the Gemara says Eliyahu, it is not Eliyahu Hanavi. We learn in Yeshiva, whenever the Gemara takes Eliyahu, I met Eliyahu, Eliyahu was in the Churba. I was traveling on the road and I was davening, and Eliyahu came and said, how dare you daven in the Churba, it's Sakana, famous Gemara being Misach Lebrachas. That's not Eliyahu Hanavi. That was an Amoira by the name of Eliyahu. That answers a lot of questions. So there are really three Eliyahs. There's Eliyahu, the Amoira, if that's correct. There's a Leo that comes in the body, we refer to it as Tishbi, and there's a Leo that's the neshama that comes in the form of a neshama. When the Gemara says, when with this approach, we can answer our original question: how can a Leo come and answer all of the unresolved questions when Torah? Lav bashamayimi. Torah decision must be rendered by a human being, not by a malach. And Chnami cannot be answered by Eliyahu, but it can be answered by Tishbi. When Eliyahu's nesham is once again put into a body, and Eliyahu Hanavi once again becomes human, and he operates, controls the human mind, and he can think through a svara, then his brilliant mind will be able to resolve all of our halachic dilemmas, because then it's no longer going to be issued midin a malach, it will be rendered midin a human being. Okay, this was a very distious thought. You could develop many, many ways, and every time you look at the Rachman Mechazal, you have to look, are we discussing Eliyahu the guf in the guf, or are we discussing Eliyahu in as form of a neshama? Yeah.
When the mice of Eliyahu, when they're up in the competition,
yes,
alive, how do we understand that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think anyone knows. You're asking a question that no one knows the answer to. No one knows the answer. How do you understand any of these stories in Tanakh? Whatever, it's very new. Someone told me the name of Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller, they told him some type of Baba Maisa that a fish was talking. Or, you know, one of these crazy Hasidic stories you hear. So he said, Avigdor Miller says, you know, it's hard enough for a human being, for a person today to have emunah in what it says in the Torah. Eliyahu went to Shemayim Basa'ara. How are you to deal with that? How are one of us to understand that? We have to have emunah. It requires a great degree of faith to believe that Eliyahu went up in his guf to Shemayim. that alone is enough to keep you busy, keep your mind busy the rest of your life. Don't try to disturb a person's mind by telling him, guess what? The fish on my dining room table was talking to me and was saying Kriya Shema. What do you have to disturb the person's sanity? It's hard enough to deal with what it says in Tanakh. Okay, that answers the question? Okay, let's go further. Now, what? We don't know.
It's to say, I don't understand.
Okay, we have emunah. We have to have emunah, what it says in Tanakh. Absolutely. You don't have emunah, you're a kofer. But don't push the limits. Don't push it. What?
The outer limits.
Elio went to Shemayim Besara. All of the miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu, he puts his hand into his pocket. He named Yada Mitzras Kashelek. How do you understand that? Put it back inside, it's okay. What kind of doctor can perform that kind of miracle? Take a stick, put it on the ground, turns into a snake. With 10 makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, there are, we all know over good and well, there are many people that are trying to explain that the 10 makos can be understood, al der teva, Kriyas Yamsuf. In our lifetimes, we saw that tsunami, we couldn't relate. Is that really what the Torah means? It's not the way we've been brought up. We've been brought up that Kriyas Yamsuf means Kriyas Yamsuf, right? And 10 makos means we're talking the real deal. We have emunah. This is maminim, b'nei maminim, and that's what we have to work on. But Avigdor Miller said, you know, it's very difficult. Avigdor Miller speaking, and this is not me speaking, Avigdor Miller speaking, it's very difficult to have a moon in these type of things. It's not the world that we live in. That's not the way things happen. And to go start taxing the mind with bummises is totally not proper. Okay, let's go further. Another, I want to get to, there are three times in our daily liturgy or our Hanhagos that we mention Eliyahu. What are the three times that Eliyahu plays a prominent role? Bris Milah. Every Bris Milah, Baruch Haba, we welcome Eliyahu Hanavi. He comes. He's there. We have a Muna. Kis Ezeh, Kis Shel Eliyahu Hanavi. I know when I down in the Shtibel, they have a beautiful Kis Shel Eliyahu. And they put it in the hall. And every time I walk in the hall, there's always someone sitting on the chair.
So when they say Eliyahu's
coming to the Eliyahu, really? Him? I never thought. Maybe him. But this guy, this Friday night, there was someone walking out of shul, there was someone in the hall on the big, beautiful Kisha Eliyahu, and he was sitting in the Kisha Eliyahu. And in fact, the rabbi was there, and the rabbi was talking to him. He's having a conversation. It became so common. Everyone sits in the Kisha Eliyahu. And I was thinking to myself, him, Eliyahu? From all the people in the shul, he's the last one I would expect.
Is it the ruach of Eliyahu that comes to the bris? Obviously, it's not the good.
Obviously, it's the neshama. The neshama. The neshama of Eliyahu comes to the bris. When else? When we bench. Harach mishlach lanu es Eliyahu hanavi zochol. Every time you recite Berachas Hamazon, you misspell Eliyahu hanavi zochol latov. When is the third time we think of Eliyahu? By Seder night. The night of the Seder. Zeh koishel Eliyahu. Three very prominent Makom times that Eliyahu HaNavi is there. I want to suggest that these three times come from a pasuk in Malachim. In Malachim, the famous story when Eliyahu goes to Shemayim, before he goes to Shemayim, when Eliyahu, Hashem Elokim, when Eliyahu gathers together all the Nevi HaBaal and he challenges them to bring a carbon to the Baal, and he takes his par and prepares it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, "Nu, why don't you show me that the Baal has power? Let's see if the Baal can come and accept your carbon." In Kol Ve'inayne, Eliyahu's Mispalo, and his Eish Min Hashemayim comes, it accepts the par, it consumes all of the water, so on and so forth, and everyone bursts forth and says, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. What happens after this moment in time? Eliyahu kills, he slaughters all of the Nevi HaBaal. After he slaughters all the Nevi HaBaal, who hears about this? Izebel the Machashefa hears what happened, and she says, and that he's a dead man. He's a marked man. Okay, Vayaged Achav Li Zevel Ace Kolash Osa Eliyahu, the Ace Kolasher Horag Eskol Hanavim Becharef, Vatishlach Izevel Maloch, Messenger El Eliyahu, Lamar, Koyasim Elikim, Vichoyo Sifun, I swear, Imko Ace Mochor Osimis Nafshecha, Kenefesh Achad Nehem. By tomorrow this time you're dead.
Malachim
Aleph Perek Yutes. Vayar, Vayoka, Vayelech, El Nafsho, he fled for his life. After this whole thing, Vayavo, Be'er Sheva, Shelayud, Vayanach, Vayanach, Esnar Sham, so on and so forth. We have to begin with all the psukim now, and then he hides in a cave. And Hashem says to him, Vayoka, Vayoka, Hashem gives him what to eat. Vayavo, Shem, Elam, Oro, Vayolan, Shem, Vayine, Devar, Hashem, Elam, Vayomelo, Malacha, Foelio, what are you doing in the cave? What's going on here? I see you're distressed. Vayoymer, and he says, Kanoi kinesi la Hashem. This is Pinchas. Pinchas Eliyahu, the same. Kanoi kinesi la Hashem elokeitz. I can't take it anymore. Eliyahu was a zealot. He could not tolerate sinners. He could not tolerate the Nevi Habal. I can't live like this anymore. I can't tolerate these crazy people out there. These Ovdei Avodah Zarah. This is Zevel. Kanoi kinesi elokei la Hashem elokei tzavakos. And here he goes on to say, he criticizes Klal Yisrael for three things. Ki ozvu, what am I so upset about? This is a very important pasuk. The whole parasha b'chlal, it's a very mysterious pasuk. There's a lot of mafarshim in this parasha. Number one, he says, ki ozvu v'rischa, v'nei Yisrael. Number one, your people have abandoned your bris. The question, what bris are we referring to? The bris of Torah or bris smila? And in fact, this really is the Makor that Eliyahu Navi comes. This pasuk is the Makor where Eliyahu Navi comes to every single bris. That's what the Targum says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you were critical of Klal Yisrael, I'm going to put a punishment to some degree. You always have to come to every single bris. Ki Ozvu, number one, he criticized Vrischa, they abandoned Vrischa ben Yisrael. Number two, Es Mizbichoisecha Horasu. Eliyahu was very disturbed. He criticized Klal Yisrael for them destroying the Mizbeach of Hashem. This was a very difficult kufa, and in the Beis HaMikdash, there were korbanos were not being offered. The Mizbeach was destroyed. They took it apart. They demolished the Mizbeach. And the third thing he criticized is V'yes Nevi'echa Horgub V'choref, that the prophets, the good prophets, the tzaddikim, were murdered. V'yivaser Ani Levadi, I'm the only one left. V'yivakshu Es Nafshi L'kachto, and now they're trying to kill me also. Izevel has sent people to kill me. And I'm very upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not pleased with his harsh criticism, and because Chazal said, because he said the words Ki Ozov Rischa, that is why Eliyahu Navi, now Hashem says, really, the different interpretations of the Macha Chazal. Point to one interpretation is, I'm going to prove to you that the Jewish people have not abandoned my bris, and you're going to bear witness. You are going to be forced for the rest of your existence to be present at every single bris mila, and you will bear witness that the Jewish people have not abandon my bris. This pasuk is the source for Eliyahu Navi coming to every single bris. But it's also interesting to note that's only one third of what Eliyahu said. He also said that they have demolished the Mizbeach. So I think we can suggest what is when you eat a meal, Chazal say it's a korban. Every time you sit at your dining room table and you eat bread, you eat a piece of meat, you eat a piece of food, you're offering a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person's shulchan is a mizbeach. On every single meal we eat, what do we say? Harachamon hu yishlach lanu eis Eliyahu Hanavi zechor latov. What else? V'yes nevi'echa haragu, they killed your prophets. What do we do at the Seder? At the Seder, the process of the Seder is to bring Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu by name, but the process of the Seder is Shlach Nabi Atishlach, is to bring the Goyal Acharein. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Goyal Rishon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu and recruited him to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlach Nabi Atishlach. Moshe asked Hashem, is this going to be the final Geula? Hashem said, no, It's not going to be the final geula, it's just going to be part of the process. It's going to be the first step of the process. It's going to be a long process to be the final geula. So Moshe said, I don't want. I only want results. I only want to be at the end. Shlach nabiyat tishlach. Hashem said, no, too bad. Even though you're not going to go lachron, when the Seder, when we sit by the Seder, what are we doing? We're reviewing the Goyal Rishon. And after we finish the Seder, we come to the Koy Shlishi, we're now coming to the part of the Seder of the Goyal Acharoin. And the Goyal Acharoin is basically Eliyahu HaNavi with Mashiach. So they've killed your prophets. The whole essence of the Seder is to give kavod, to some degree, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's part of the process of the Seder. So I want to suggest is that this entire pasuk, in this pasuk is hidden the three things which, the source of why there are three things we focus on Elio. The Mizbeach refers to benching. The Es Neviecha Horogu V'Chore refers to the Seder. And Barischa, Chazal actually say, refers to Baris Mila. Okay, another quick idea. I just want to tie from something we said on Friday. On Friday I discussed with you Bilam. Bilam is Elihu. We're learning now in Eiyuv. The one that's giving the final response to Eiyuv is Elihu. So I told you Yerushalmi, and Masechta Shkolim, the fifth parak, Dorash Rebbe Akiva, Elihu Ze Bilam. Why? Elihu ben Berachel ben Buzi Mimishpacha Saram ben Berachel ben Sheberach Hashem. That dude, he was an individual, through him came Baracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Buzi, his prophecy was despised relative to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mimishpach HaSaram, he said himself, Min Aram Yancheni Bolok. From Aram, Bolok, he led me, he guided me to come to this location. Elihu is Bilam. And I discussed with you on Friday that Elihu is Bilam, but Bilam is also Lavan. That right, we know that Targum Yonis Menuzil says that Bilam is Lavan. And our theme was that this individual saw Klal Yisrael from the beginning of time to the end of time. Correct? He saw Lavan, saw Klal Yisrael, Eliezer Eved Avram. He saw Klal Yisrael when Yaakov Avinu was in his home. He saw Klal Yisrael at the time in Egypt of Kol HaBen HaYivan HaEret HaShlichu, one of the three people that was part of the Eitzah, Chazal tell us was Bilam. And then he was there again to curse Klal Yisrael when they were in the Midbar. And Hashem said to Bilam, come, I will show you my Yaseh, Amazel Yamcha, B'acharis Hayam, I'll show you what's going to be Acharis Hayam. Right after the end of Parshas Bilam and Balak, it's very interesting, we have a parsha break. It's the only parsha break in last week's parsha. And the story of Pinchas. The story of the 24,000 people who died. And we have Pinchas coming forward. He took the sword and he killed Cosby and Zimri. He killed them. Now, if you were writing the parsha, you would probably take that part of the parsha and put it in this week's parsha. And this week's parsha begins in the middle of the story. Pinchas ben Eloz ben Anakoyin Heshivis Chamosim Yal b'nei Yisrael. L'chor, you would take what we had last week, it was the Maftir, from last week, and put in this week's parash. Yet, it's not. It's part of parash. Why? So I want to suggest a little bit, a wild chiddush. Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Bilam ze Elihu. It's more than a coincidence, the spelling, the similarity between Elihu and Eliyahu. The only difference is in a hey, there's an aleph at the end. Eliyahu, Elihu has an aleph at the end. Elihu, there's an aleph. Eliyahu does not have an aleph at the end. But you don't need the aleph. The aleph is silent. They come out the same. What's the pshat? Just like we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael Moshe, and Zelu Mazeh, Hashem gave the Umas HaOlam a Bilam. Hashem gave us an Eliyahu HaNavi. Has to be fair. Hashem gave the Umas HaOlam an Elihu. The essence of Elihu was a person that saw the world as an outsider from beginning to end. Elihu is Bilam. Bilam is Lavan. This individual observed the history of the world from the beginning to the end. at least from Klal Yisrael, the history of Klal Yisrael, we have an Eliyahu that is Lu'umas, is opposite the Elihu. Eliyahu lo neis. Eliyahu went to Shemayim Basara. Eliyahu was there in the beginning. He came to Klal Yisrael, and he's always there. He also has this perspective of Klal Yisrael from the beginning to the end. It's ze lu'umas ze. There always has to be this balance. The Mele, when we finish Parshas Balak, the story of Bilam, who is the Elihu of the Umos Ha'olam, Kaviyachal, the Eliyahu Hanavi of the Umos Ha'olam, then, right away, we have the story of Pinchas, Bayar Pinchas ben Elozar, because Pinchas is the Eliyahu. It's our Eliyahu Hanavi. That's why the two are juxtaposed. You have the Eliyahu Hanavi of the Umos Ha'olam and the Eliyahu Hanavi of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this is another idea for Eliyahu. All right, there's a little bit more. Maybe we'll do more tomorrow. We'll see, but we'll stop here for now.